And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and we're live here at Fox Sports Radio. What's going on, everybody? It's Monday, and we are going to make it happen. Let me tell you about what's going on the show today. We got a few things going on. Of course, we're going to go over our picks, of course, you know, because I was always right. Even if I was wrong, I was right. And this is your boy, Jay Chris, talking, of course. If I was wrong, I was right. We're going to be talking about the Skins and the Cowboys, what went wrong, what went right, and what should happen from here on out. We got Monday night football game going on tonight that we're going to be talking about. And it's going to be, of course, all the shenanigans that we go through as a crew, as a team, and as a clique. But without further ado, let me introduce my man, I call him the King of Richmond, the King of Hopewell, Virginia. His name is Emmy Richmond on the Twitter, so you better go follow him. Michael, what's going on, man? Guess no one can hear me. That's all right. Well, I'm going to keep on talking anyway because the show must go on. So, also on the show, we're going to have Keith Gordon on from Fight Night DC. This is going to be the third year in a row that we have him on, and we're going to be talking about the growth of Fight Night DC and of course, the what's going on with Fight Night DC this week or this year and who's fighting. You know, what's going on? What are the plans? Give us the actual factual. Give us the rundown, and we're going to make that happen. Is my man King Vaughn on the social media right now? Because we definitely got to, make sure he's active today because this is a big day. Okay. Is anyone else on right now? Can anyone else hear my voice?
I am here upon technical difficulties. I would like to say shout out to Beats by Dre, but I can't because they just died on me in the studio. So as I'm sitting here talking out just minutes before going on live here in this momentous episode today that I've been happy, proud, and ready and excited for, Jay Chris, I have been shadowed, they would say, with difficulties upon today's show. But people, I'm sorry, I don't know where Jay Chris started, where he left off, but I will continue from here on out. Welcome to the Soul and Sports right here on Perfect Flex Talk Radio. This is why you have a crew to hold you down. My name is Mike Knox, and indeed, like today's guest, I spell my name with three X's because I am hardcore, people. Today we have the best and worst of the sports weekend. Leota Machida goes to sleep. Is that the end of him? The Philadelphia Eagles, the best team in football? Yeah, put a question mark behind that. Also, the World Series. We talked about it last week. I'm going to continue talking about it this week. I watched the game again last night. By far, this is the best World Series I have seen since 1991. But today, people, on the program, we'll be joined by the CEO of Fight for the Children, Mr. Keith Gordon. Y'all know who he is. He's been here for the previous 2 years to, how can we say this, to talk to, I kind of want to say advertise, right? Because it's not advertisement to me. It's bigger than that. Now, and Jay, Chris, you know this. I'm going to put this because it's the barbershop, right? You're black. You've been in church your whole life, right? I've been in church my whole life. And never, ever have I felt a need to pay it forward, to look out for someone else like I do now because of this organization, Fight for the Children, and having the pleasure of meeting the CEO, Mr. Keith Gordon, who will join us in this program momentarily, people. Number to call in, the particulars, let me get them out the way for you right here, right now. 347-637-3859. Number to call in. Make sure you follow us on your Twitter at Soul and Sports, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports. Make sure you follow here to give you the idea of the case because we are live right now in Richmond, Virginia at 1340 AM Fox Sports and also on 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio, Hopewell, Virginia. But make sure you follow them as well at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Also, welcome to the program. She should have been up first, but I came in. I tagged myself in, Craig Chris. Welcome back to the program, Miss Major Paige. What's going on this Monday afternoon, Paige?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I am doing great. Miami sucks, by the way. And because of you, having the ties you have with them, me watching them, you know, I fell for the Kool-Aid. You'd have thought I was in a Harry Potter film because the magic hocus pocus, okay, has been put on me by the Miami Dolphins. They were my upset of the week before we erased that on Friday's show. 40-0, really? Really, that's how you do me, Paige?
I'm sorry.
That's how you do me. Oh, what's going on, Jay Chris? Thank you for holding us down by Beats by Dre went out on me. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. And, yeah, Miami Dolphins definitely were the upset of the week. Good Lord, I couldn't believe that score when I saw it. But real quick, I want to put one thing out there before we continue with the show. Go to my, any of my Twitter accounts, Jay Watson Radio Man, New Twist Radio, and you will see if you are a high school senior this week, for 1 week from now to the 4th, I don't even know if that's a whole week, there's a list of colleges that I put out there that are waiving their application fees. Check it out. This list is too long for me to name out right now, but the list is out there on my social media. Just go ahead, check it out, and apply to those schools. They're waiving their application fees till November 4th, from today till November 4th. So check it out. That's all I got to say about that, honestly. So, I mean, if I need to go back and talk about Paige's Miami Dolphins. Paige, now, let me ask you, Paige, before we continue, how strong is your bond with the Dolphins?
Yeah, how strong is that bond? Is it like a motherly bond?
I would say it's very strong. You guys know I stick with the home teams no matter what. And I also, before we move further, I want to point out another thing. When the Dolphins win, y'all don't really want to acknowledge them, but as soon as they lose,
don't you dare wish that evil upon us, Ricky Bobby. I have supported them through thick and think. And if, as Michael would say, okay, because he would say that here, you can't teach that, okay? You just can't.
Okay.
There's
okay.
no teaching that.
All right. I was just wondering. I think the Dolphins were taking Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell off the Eagles' hands, even though
and
they just
it.
Cut
yeah.
Byron Maxwell.
That's it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was just wondering.
Well, guys, to hate to put you on sabbatical, as they would say right now, but it's about that time, people, because our esteemed guest is here today, and I'm privileged. I'm honored to speak to this man right here, right now, on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, people. Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell. I'm excited, as I always have been. I will always continue to be excited for this, guys, because it's the biggest thing in the year, in my opinion. It really is. To welcome to the program, guys, one Mr. Keith Gordon. Before I put him on, okay, he is the CEO of Fight for the Children DC, okay, people? This organization for the past decade plus has raised over $60 million, people. This is what they do, okay? Coming up, actually, it's the 28th annual Fight for the Children, going down this Thursday, November 2nd, I will be in the building for the third year in a row. And people, listen, it's not all about what's happening on Thursday, even though it's happening on Thursday. It's for the children. All the money, all the proceeds go to Fight for the Children. It is the best in sports, entertainment, and philanthropy. I want to be a philanthropist just because of this organization. So people, do what we do best. Stand on your feet for the one. He's the CEO, the only Mr. Keith Gordon. What's going on, Mr. Gordon?
Oh, you know, Mike, I look forward to this all year just for that. I can't thank you enough. What a great introduction. Thank you.
Listen, I do it for you. I tell you, to hear your laugh, I get it from everybody all the time, and I'm always, you know, like when the Cubs won the World Series for me, get goosebumps because I am really that excited. I'm really that honored when I get to interview guys like yourself, Mr. Gordon. I really, really am. Fight Night DC, it goes down this Thursday night. The Stars, the Professional Fighter League will be there. You got who you had, Frontier was there. Last year you had Sheila E. and Biz Markie. I mean, you guys continue
yeah.
year after year after year to bring the best people to this event to raise money for the children. And for those who don't know, for those who are maybe new to the program and don't know exactly what Fight for the Children is, Mr. Gordon, please explain to them what exactly Fight for the Children is and what Fight Night DC is all about this coming Thursday.
Yeah, of course. Well, for anybody that doesn't know Fight for Children, you know, we're a nonprofit organization that's based here in D.C. We were started in 1990 by a man named Joe Robert. Unfortunately, he passed away in early 2012. But he started the organization because he had a passion for helping children. You know, he grew up here in the D.C. area, had a pretty rough upbringing, and the two things he was passionate about were education, because he really never had a great shot at getting even a marginally quality education, and the other was about boxing. And, you know, he felt that even though he didn't necessarily have all the opportunities, what he learned from boxing really kind of directed him in life. So he learned things like sacrifice, commitment, the impact on of positive coaching and of training and the mental toughness that you had to develop. And of course, when he became successful in real estate, His number one passion was giving back and helping kids from communities that didn't have the opportunities that other, you know, wealthier or more well-off kids in some of the other areas in D.C. and Virginia and Maryland had. So he started Fight for Children in 1990, and, you know, Fight for Children came out of the very first fight night. And this was an event where, you know, he just basically got all of his friends together, all of the people who he could rally around the support for the cause. They had their first event. They raised a couple of hundred thousand, and they started this organization, Fight for Children. Since then, we've been a we've been a catalyst for education reform here in D.C. We've helped push for control, mayoral control of the school system. When Adrian Fenty and Michelle Rhee first took over, we've pushed for universal pre-K. We've pushed for school choice. You know, we've done everything from lobbying and policy making all the way through our own programs. We've helped to incubate and advance a lot of nonprofit organizations that are also here doing great work. And overall, I mean, we've just really had a great positive impact on D.C. Our organization is made up of about seven people, but our board is extremely powerful. We've got two former mayors on the board. We've got all of the local business leaders, the people who are involved with local sports teams, who are also very big philanthropists in their own right. And, you know, our ability to convene once a year for Fight Night and have this massive event that really just raises not only a great amount of funds for the organization, but also puts the issues affecting children in D.C. Front and center on the map. And that platform is something that's extremely important every year.
Now, that platform that you guys have built, to me, again, I'm a rookie to this. This year will be my third time attending. I'm having the pleasure yet again of being able to be on the red carpet and talk that good stuff with, you know, stars and athletes is coming through. But I was able, Mr. Gorton, last year to bring my wife along with me, and even she was amazed by this. And when I tell you that it's really a dream of mine to be able to donate to this cause, because you guys, to me, you throw the biggest party I've ever been to in my life. I mean, you got cigars. I remember having a conversation with one gentleman that was there, and he told me that my wife only told me tonight I can only bid on a few items. I only got $75,000 I can bid tonight. I'm sitting next to him like, hey, get on that. Bit on that too. And I'm like, that's the kind of party we all strive to be to. So my first year there, it was Ali theme when Creed the movie was coming out, and you had, mm-hmm. you know, Michael B. Jordan and those guys be there. Last year was a little different set of a theme. It was like the sports teams in the area. You had like the Washington Wizards, and all those guys are always there. You go play games. Can you give a little sneak peek of what the theme will be this year coming up on this Thursday?
Yeah, sure. So the theme this year, you're right. In the last couple of years, we've told some stories, and we really wanted to make the event very special, so that if you didn't go to the event and you missed it, you wouldn't be able to relive that experience. You had to kind of wait until mm-hmm. next year when it was a totally new experience. And that's driven a little bit more interest, and that's driven a lot more spending, quite frankly, around Fight Night. So this year the theme is the power within, and it's very simple. We believe that the most powerful force in nature is the potential inside of a child. And, you know, to be able to tell the story about the potential of children here in D.C., that, you know, either will actually come to fruition, will be realized at some point if nurtured and given the right opportunities, you know, or what the opposite is, right? You know, if those kids are growing up in environments where they don't have just even a shot at having a great education, all the things that they could potentially be will never happen. So the power within is really kind of paying homage to, you know, the most special thing in the world, which is that potential inside children. So, you know, it's also a double entendre in that it's also the power within the room of Fight Night. I mean, the power you know, in that room is everyone from business, from sports, entertainers, athletes, musicians, philanthropists, politicians, you name it. And then, of course, the power within, meaning the power that, you know, Fight Night for 28 years has really kind of been the engine inside of Fight for Children, driving our ability to do things. So that's going to play out quite a bit. Just like we did last year, we're going to have a whole bunch of interactive games as part of the silent auction in the very beginning. So the first 2 hours are kind of you know, it's all about kind of getting in there. You know, you just had a long day at work. You know, you have an hour or two to kind of unwind, you know, grab a cocktail, you know, do some networking. You know, you can still throw some footballs, you know, if you want to try your fast pitch skills at the Nationals fast pitch, or you want to try and show off your golf game and get closest to the hole. Again, all this stuff is done so that people can kind of spend money, have a good time, and it all goes to helping kids. And you know, when people have that lens that they're looking through all this stuff on, I mean, it tends to sort of make them open up their wallet, which is great. And then, you know, throughout the night, I mean, we, you know, like you mentioned, we had a lot of different stars. I mean, this year we're partnering with the Professional Fighters League, the PFL. And so we're bringing MMA into Fight Night for the very first time in almost 30 years. So it's a pretty big deal for us. We've got four fights scheduled. Two of them are championship bouts and massively anticipated matchups. And, you know, it's the first time that we've ever set up what we call the Decagon in the center of the Hilton Ballroom. So, you know, it's pretty impressive when you think about it. We have the only cigar exemption in the entire city of D.C. We've got a giant Decagon, you know, boxing ring set up in the center of this room. We've got tables all around it with, you know, 1,800 people all having cigars, having a good time, you know, cheering on the fights. And then, of course, after the fights, you know, we've got everything from live auction items. We're going to be auctioning off a custom Washington Nationals chopper that was made a couple of years ago, signed by the 2012 Washington Nationals team. And then, you know, we have guys coming in. One of the finalists from The Voice on NBC, Laith Al-Saadi, is coming. And then, of course, we have a headline act, which is the Royal Machines. And it's interesting, this band, the Royal Machines, not a lot of people know them, but they are essentially a Hollywood supergroup that's made up of all these different individuals that have played in these bands. So you've got, you know, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray. You've got Josh Fries from Guns N' Roses plays the drums. Chris Chaney plays bass from Jane's Addiction. Steve Stevens from Billy Idol. Billy Morrison from The Cult. You know, Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. So you have these artists who are all going to be singing songs that they actually wrote years ago and just trying to bring the roof down. And they're going to be singing inside the cage of all places too. So it's going to be a bit crazy. And then we kind of go into the after party. You know, the after party is about 11:30 to 1:30. And we have this great DJ that's coming in. He's a video DJ, DJ Rooney G. And while he spins his tracks, he also spins his videos. And so you have sort of this immersive experience, very sort of Vegas nightclub looking feel. So the party continues. So after a full day of work, 6 hours that you put in on Thursday, you got to put in a second day. You got to pull a double shift and come to Fight Night and do another 6 hours. So it is it's a long day, but it's a great time. And, you know, every year again, I can't tell you how surprised I am that people just continue to come. They have a great time, but they open up their hearts. They open up their wallets. And every year it allows us to help so many more kids, you know, in D.C. And that's, at the end of the day, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's where it starts. It's where it ends. That's where we always point back to. That's what it's about. You still there, Mike?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sitting here myself. This technical difficulties today. I'm telling you, these Beat headphones, they don't sponsor me, so I have no reason to be loyal to them anymore, okay? Thought they were back on, they were off. I do apologize for that. You there, Mr. Gordon? You okay?
Still so, here, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you were one of the things I was saying about, I thought I was saying anyway, but nobody could hear me, was I'm trying to paint this picture for everybody as you were trying to explain it because, you know, everybody's coming. And one of the best things you said was you tried to, the people that are coming in, the philanthropists, the stars, the athletes, guys that want to give back, you opening them up to all these games and the drinks and the food and the cigars to soften them up for this good cause. And I watch a lot of Boob Tube, as my wife would call it. We sit there and watch all our TV shows together. And that's one of the main driving forces I've noticed is you if you make people happy, you put them in a good mood, they're going to be inclined to give out their pockets, to give freely, especially towards a good cause like this. Who doesn't like children? You may not be an animal lover, but everybody got kids. Everybody has a niece, a nephew, a, you know, or a grandfather or grandparent. So I love what Fight Night represents. And then you talk about this, how'd you call it, octagon in the middle of the ring?
the decagon. Well, you know, we had to be different, so you got to get a 10-sided cage instead of the 8-sided, you know. Something different, right? Something new.
Well, the professional fight league is going to be there, you were talking about. And
yeah,
this is different because normally it's boxing that's normally going on. What made you guys go into the MMA realm this time over choosing to go with boxing? Because the last years have been really awesome with the boxing. I know last year you guys had – it was Maryland took on another local fight. It was the two schools went at it in fall. What made you pick MMA this year? Is it how popular MMA is?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things, right? So one is that, you know, like anything else, right? If you don't evolve, you know, you go the way of the dinosaurs, right? And I think it's been, you know, it's been 27 years straight that we've done boxing, and sometimes the boxing works out well, and other times the boxing is, you know, sort of so-so. But I think it was just time to tap into this passion that people have for MMA. I mean, the popularity is at an all-time high. I think it's not just watching MMA, but also people who are fascinated with training like an MMA fighter. I mean, it's just a great physical sport and really demands a lot. You know, the fights are also shorter. They're 3 rounds, 5 minutes each instead of 10 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot less time to go through them. A lot of the fights are just a lot more high intensity. I mean, for those people who've never been to an MMA match, you know, I went to one to scout what this was going to be like and to figure out, you know, was it going to be too violent? Was it going to be too, you know, too boring? What was it really? And I have to tell you, I mean, it's a completely different experience than watching traditional boxing, in particular when you got guys who stand up and fight rather than go to the ground and wrestle, right? And
yeah,
it was just a good thing for us to do, try something different. You know, if it works out, it's going to be probably a staple at Fight Night, and I think it will. But it's also something that, you know, you've got these people who, you know, unlike a lot of professional boxers, I mean, they all have great stories and everything else, but a lot of the MMA fighters, you know, there's probably about 2 to 3 times as many people who right now are performing and training MMA style and want to fight. So you have a much deeper pool to pull from. But you also have these great stories of people who, in some cases, you know, they might have been a lawyer, you know, and decided that they wanted to follow their passion, which was fighting. I mean, there's these interesting stories of people who just sort of come out of the woodwork, and the next thing you know, I mean, you know, one of our fighters, he was a former, well, I shouldn't say former, you're never a former Marine, but a United States Marine. And, you know, Lance Palmer, he's fighting, you know, a guy by the name of Steve Seiler, and that's the co-main event. That's a title fight at the featherweight division. The guy's nickname is The Party, right? Lance The Party Palmer. But, I mean, great personalities and great experiences to share. And the other thing is these guys are not – they're not so so big that they don't remember where they came from, and they're humble and they're willing to, you know, meet with our sponsors and talk a little bit about the cause and help us raise awareness for why we're doing this. And that's always obviously the objective, is to really get as much visibility as we can when we talk about why we're doing this. Because at the end of the day, you know, the party's great. You know me. I like a good party. Great cigar, you know, everything else. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, did this make a difference? And, you know, did it help us accomplish what we wanted to for the kids in D.C.? And so I think that's the ultimate test is will this do it? And I feel pretty confident that it will.
I know that it will. I'm speaking life into this event now. I know I have yet to give a dent of a donation like I would want to for Fight Night D.C. So or Fight for the Children, that is. Where could one go? This show is broadcasting live in Hopewell, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, 1340 AM. It's on Blog Talk Radio. It's going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever podcasts are sold, which are free. Where can they go right now, whether it's now, tomorrow, next week, and donate to Fight for the Children, Mr. Gordon?
Well, anytime, you can go to our website, which is fightforchildren.org. And you can donate through fightforchildren.org. You can go to the Fight Night page. You know, if you really want to get involved and actually be a part of what we're doing, you can actually volunteer throughout the year. We do a lot of community service. You know, we just did 2 weeks ago almost a full day of volunteering in an elementary school here in D.C. In a particularly rough area. We spent the day helping them organize their entire system in the school. We got to spend the day reading to kids, hanging out, you know, planting different gardens with them. I mean, it was, if you've never done this before, it's pretty transformative. So in addition to donating and supporting us financially, you know, support us with your time and your resources, and, you know, you can make a difference. You know, these kids are like sponges at the ages that we usually engage with them. And just having an adult in their life that gives them some sort of positive attention and reinforces the good things in their life, I mean, makes all the difference, and it's huge.
And like you said, Fight for the Children, it serves, you know, pretty much improving equality and education for at-risk kids, whether that's in D.C. where they're focusing on, but everybody knows an at-risk kid somewhere, guys. And again,
right,
the party in which it just brings together for the event, go to www.fightforthechildren.org/fight-night. Are there still tickets available for the fight deck? Anything like that still available for people who want to get in late?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we're sold out of all of our tables, but we do have the party deck open. So, you know, if you want to come and join us in the party deck, I mean, it's again, a great time out. The party deck's a nice way to kind of come in. Not everybody can afford to buy a table. But the party deck, you get access to just about everything. You know, some limited movement in the ballroom during the fights, but once the fights are over, the party deck opens to the rest of the floor for the concert. And you can buy those tickets online. Again, fightforchildren.org. is the website, and you can just go to the Fight Night tab and you can purchase them there, or just give us a call at our office. I mean, you know, we'd be happy to have anybody in, and if you're coming to your first Fight Night, make sure to let us know, because we really want to make sure that you have a great experience.
There's no way they can't have a great experience, okay? And it's limited to y'all, okay? I'm media and a guest, so I'll be mingling with everybody. You know, Mr. Gordon, a little quick story, I'll let you go, and I thank you so much for coming on. I grew up hating Isaiah Thomas, and I saw him last year there, and I went down to him. And what I believe is what I do well at my job, and I'm not tooting myself on the back, but I know that I have a certain skill set, and that I'm always honest, as you said, I'm very transparent. And I went down to him and said, yo, it's an honor to meet you. You know I hated you in Chicago. We all hated you because you played for the Pistons. And he said to me, you're supposed to hate me. I played for Detroit, and it was the greatest conversation I ever had with him. My wife's like, "Oh, let me get a picture with Isaiah Thomas," and then Charlie Batch was there, right? And I become friends with Charlie Batch, and I said to him, I said, "Man, I know you from somewhere." I'm thinking he was Hines Ward, and I said, "Charlie Ward." He said, "Come on, man, I don't look like him." I said, "You know, all black people look alike, right?" He goes, "No, we don't." You know, just stories like that. You know, I met some guys that work for, you know, in office and government in Washington, D.C., guys and women that were there. Showed my wife how to smoke a cigar and things like that. I'm bringing her again this year. She's my camera woman now, Mr. Gordon. I put her to work.
I got to tell you. Well, last year, in addition to all those things, I also know that my wife and your wife somehow made their way to the party deck, which, of course, was sponsored by Jägermeister, and it will be again this year. And let's just say that you know, they went in one way and they came out the other. but it was great. It was great to see you having a good time. And I mean, look, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, this event is, you know, sure, it's about raising funds and everything else, but it's also about, you know, creating a network and an opportunity for people to meet one another, you know, and this opportunity to descend upon one location once a year where you have the opportunity to actually go up and meet people who you otherwise wouldn't get a chance to see. So that's the value of what the event brings. And hopefully while you're doing that, you know, we're doing a little bit here and there. We're raising a little money here and there. And, you know, it allows us for the other 364 days of the year to continue helping kids. So hope to see you there again. Well, I know I'm going to see you there again. Hopefully we'll see your wife as well. And
she's coming.
We'll...
She won't. I can't go without her no more. I don't, that's why I got to put her to work. I brought
Smart.
Her, and I'm literally not allowed to go without her anymore. And I'm like, I'm going to work. She said, you're going to work, but you're going to have fun too. So I need to be there. So put me to work. So I'm putting her to work this year, Mr. Gordon. Listen,
that's great.
I appreciate you having you on. Listen, guys, they are doing things big in the D.C. area, okay? This year, we didn't get no boxing gloves to give away, Mr. Gordon. What's up with that? We didn't get
no gloves this year
to give away.
I think we can probably hook you up after fight night, you know, and we can probably give you something to give away to your listeners.
There it is, guys. I'm going to have some more gloves for y'all, okay? Because the last time I argued with the CFO, and he wouldn't let me get none for myself. I really tried to keep the ones he gave us. He said, we can't do that. I said, I want some boxing gloves. He said, we can't do that. But listen, guys, Mr. Gordon, thank you so much. Make sure you guys go out there at Real Keith Gordon on Twitter, at Fight for the Children, at Fight Night DC. It goes down this Thursday, November 2nd, Washington Hilton. What are you doing with your life if you're not going to be there? It's the 28th annual Fight for the Children, Fight Night DC, Washington DC, the best in sports, entertainment, philanthropy. You got some money, right? Right between your pockets. Put your two hands in your pockets. You got some plastic. Give it away because it's for a great cause, y'all. Mr. Keith Gordon, thank you so much, sir. I'll see you this Thursday night. Have a good day,
sir. Sounds great. Thanks, Mike.
No problem, y'all. Mr. Keith Gordon! Fight Night DC. And you know what? Welcome back to the program, J. Chris. Welcome back to the program, Miss Major Page. Welcome to the program, Emmy Ritson on the Twitter. His mama calls him Micah, so from now on, I'm going to call him Micah, too. What's going on, y'all?
Hey, man, it was great to hear Mr. Keith Gordon for a third year in a row, man. It's always good to hear from that man.
Yeah, I will be there this Thursday night. You had a chance to go, J. Chris. I offered you a ticket.
Man, you know how my schedule is, bro. You know, and it's been a crazy year for me altogether.
Yeah, you know, you got married, so it's okay. The next year, if I ask you to go, you better go. Next year, Micah, if I ask you to go, you better go. Paige, you might want to stick around. Okay. You might want to stick around. I'm telling you right now. 347-637-3859. Mr. Keith Gordon was just here. King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter holding us down, doing the tweets to the icons, to the stars. And this is the show the pros listen to, just so you know. A lot of things going on in sports, y'all. Before we get into that thing, just one more time, let you guys know, go to Fight. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really having a lot of technical difficulties today, and I really am sorry about that, guys. I'm really pissed that these beasts just completely just went out on their own. I plug them in. They're towing their battery powered all the way up. I plug it into the computer system, and they go dead. They're the Bluetooth kind, too. I put them on. They go right off. So I'm pretty goddamn pissed right now. But please go to fightforchildren.org. That's where you donate, get money, go to the Fight Night tab. Fight deck tickets are still available. When I tell you, he was being very vague when he tells you there's very limited difference. There is no difference between the tables that may cost a low six figure, right, to the party deck where you and I can afford to go, okay? You get open bar. You get... you know what? The food was different last year. Because first year I had a table, so I had steak and lobster and the good stuff. Second year, we still had good food, but you didn't have your own table to sit and get served the five-course meal like you do for the six figures. So that's the only difference is the meal you get. But you get free cigars, open bar, stars everywhere. This year, you're going to have the cast of Ballers there. You're going to have MMA fighters great there, Chuck Liddell. I'm telling you right now, my first question out of my mouth will be to Chuck Liddell. Come on, I watch Entourage like you do. What the hell is a Chuck Liddell? That's one of my favorite lines of all time from Entourage. You're going to have Jay Glazer there. Like I said, Omar Benson from Ballers, who I've met several times over the years. You know him from 8 Mile as well. And that's Bash Rutten. Brazilian great Royce Gracie will be there. This will be an event for you to want to be at. I would love for you guys to see this, but you will be able to watch it through the pictures through my lens as well. But again, fightforchildren.org, Fight Night. And this is for you personally, Mr. Glenn Thomas. I have a lifetime membership How about you? That's what I'm starting there. He said he's going to come on up from Virginia tomorrow on Thursday, but I don't know if he made it get in. I got him in last year. I don't know. I might ignore my text this year. All right? I actually ain't got my mic flags yet. All right? Nobody's putting down what we putting down on Solid Sports. Remember that, homie. Pay it forward. Now we're going to talk some sports. Best and worst of the weekend. And I want to start off right here where we got it off with. That was the America's game last night. Wally's not here, but we got to give props where props is due to Mr. Vaughn 720 on the Twitter, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on Twitter, that is. He says that D.C., N.D.C. stands for the Dallas Cowboys. Your thoughts on that, J. Chris?
Whatever, man. I mean, you know, I was rooting for the my rooting interests were with the Skins, but I'm not surprised that I was disappointed.
You didn't blame the elements, because I thought the elements had a very big part to do with that.
You know what? You know the funny thing about the elements, both teams had to play in them.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I want to blame it on the elements, and you just like kicked me in the teeth when you said that, because you're right. Both teams had the elements to deal with, and one team clearly handled it better than the other team did, and that being the Dallas Cowboys. So I asked you, Major Page, yourself, and getting a chance to watch that game, see the highlights from that game. Are the Cowboys back? Are they back? Or does everything still hinges, in your opinion, on what happens with Ezekiel Elliott?
I don't think they're back yet, and I think, and I don't want to say that's totally dependent on Ezekiel Elliott, but I think that has a lot to do with it. I think once that whole situation kind of blows over, I think that we can officially say that they'll be back. But other than that, I still feel they're going to be kind of teetering on that line until then. That's how I feel about that.
Micah, I know you hate the Cowboys like everybody else in the program that has a voice, not a tweet. Get it, King Vaughn? He doesn't have a voice. He doesn't appear on the program. Although Wally, who was not here, isn't it ironic that the Redskins fan ain't here today? I will always pick on every person who's a fan of a team that don't show up the next day. I'm going to do that. I know he gave me he can't be here, but he ain't here to defend himself, so I'm going to pick on him. And Jay Chris, don't you stick up for him, because he ain't here to defend himself. We're going to pick on him today, okay? I thought it was funny that Vaughn said that D.C. and Washington, D.C. stands for the Cowboys. And yesterday I noticed there were a lot of Cowboys in FedEx Field yesterday. Micah, are the Cowboys back?
If I'm trying to tell you, already know what sound bite I'm playing right now with my slow internet here in my studio. You already know what sound I'm playing.
It must be baloney. It must be baloney.
No. Not baloney. The other one.
Who's
the other crack? Exactly. You're on crack if you think. And the heck it isn't, Tom. The Cowboys are back. Please, this is a division game, okay? Holler at me when they have to play somebody outside of division with a tougher defense, without four pieces of their offensive line crumbled, and you tell me when they're actually back, okay? Because so far when they ran up against actual good teams,
Hold on, stop. I got to stop you right there. The Washington Redskins defense is not bad. They, up until they played the Eagles last week, They were top 10 in every statistical category, defensively and offensively. So I think you're barking up the wrong tree with that one. Come on now.
No. I'm not barking up the wrong tree with that one.
Okay.
I'm not barking up the wrong tree with that one, because you know, like I know, that your defense and your defensive stats and your offensive stats mean zilch in a division game to people that you play all the time. How many times have we seen a 10-win Seattle Seahawks team under Russell Wilson with their fantastic defense going to trash St. Louis when they were in St. Louis and play a trash Jeff Fisher team, but for some odd reason they lose? So division
You looking for me to argue? That? Are you looking for me to argue?
No, there's nothing to argue. I mean, I just let you know the division, the human psyche when it comes to division matchups versus just, oh, well, I'm playing somebody matchup. It's a different thing. This is why you didn't see the level of anger and frustration when your Eagles beat the Redskins.
I'm sorry.
As
say what?
The Redskins beat when your Eagles beat the Redskins.
You talking about the best team in football?
The best team in football, leading the NFC East. I'm trying to remember. I wonder what guy who's not an Eagles fan picked them to win the division this year. I wonder who that was. Who was that guy?
That's me.
I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm not an Eagles fan.
That's why I like piggybacking. You see, wasn't piggybacking off the momentum in which I was giving you. You see, I was putting down what you picked today.
No. It's all good. And by the way, Vaughn, you keep on saying that nonsense in the chat room. Let me tell you something, Vaughn. Cousins is a lock. In my opinion, since he had a starting job, he is a lock to lose against the Redskins. This makes 5 straight losses against the Cowboys. So, in my opinion, when the Redskins play the Cowboys again, I'm locking it up weeks in advance. They're going to lose again. Because for some odd reason, Kirk doesn't know how to beat the Cowboys. It's the strangest thing. He struggles against that team. He can beat the Giants.
Wasn't that their second time playing already, J. Chris? And they beat the Cowboys.
Was that the second time in the season?
Oh, that's first time?
That's
okay,
first
okay,
time.
Okay.
Yeah, because Eagles-Cowboys closes out the season.
Right, and we played them in 3 weeks.
And y'all going to spank them.
So I asked you the question, J. Chris. Okay, and I'm asking this to everyone as well. Now, I know who I believe is the best team in NFC East because, in the words of Bill Parcells, you are what your record is, and they are the best team in football, the 7-1 Philadelphia Eagles, who I thought would be a trap game. When I lose the over-under, I'm okay with that. But I thought, beginning of this game, that they fell into the same rut the Eagles did. They scored, 14 points in less than 2 minutes before halftime to put this game away early in their game. Jay Chris, are the Eagles the best team in the NFC East, or do we have to worry about the Dallas Cowboys? The defense is playing better. Zeke is running the ball very hard. I'm not talking about if Zeke's not there. But Ezekiel Elliott, a part of this team, are the Eagles still the best team in the division not playing the Cowboys thus far?
The Eagles are the best team in the division, of course. But like the second part of your question, they have to worry about the Cowboys. I'm going to say hell yeah. Anytime you got Zeke and Dez, who, you know, Dez is still Dez, even if he's not Dez, and then you got Dak doing his thing, you're going to have to worry about the Cowboys. They're a formidable foe. I think they can go and beat anybody in this league, just like the Eagles could probably beat anybody in this league. The funny thing is the NFC has become such a, I don't know what you would want to call it, but they've broken down with, you know, Aaron Rodgers going down. You're not sure what's going on with Atlanta. They're not looking like, you know, the Super Bowl team. Carolina's back and forth. You know, New Orleans is looking legit, but you're almost at a point where you're like, you're not exactly sure you want to go there with them yet. So I think two of the best teams in the NFC right now as it stands with the eye test are the Eagles and the Cowboys. And, you know, it may come down to them when it comes down to January. So, like you said, you are what your record says you are. So the Eagles are the best in the NFC right now.
Major Page, we know we're not talking about the team that got blasted on Thursday. Sorry, we don't do that long. They got blasted. We know. We're talking about the real the NFC East, not the AFC East.
Wow, okay.
Who is the best team? Who is the best team in the NFC East the way you see it?
I definitely see it as being the Eagles for sure. I don't see not even the Cowboys stopping them, really. I don't think the Cowboys are really going to be a factor for them. I really don't.
What weakness do you see in the Cowboys that make you feel so confident that everybody – I'm not willing so quickly to write them off just yet to the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
What makes you feel, I know a lot of people feel so confident, what makes you feel so confident that they're not that? Because I look at this team, 33 rushes by Ezekiel Elliott, and we could say what we want to say about whatever running back you put back there by committee. I think they all can run behind this offensive line who's been criticized lately of not being as good anymore. I think anybody can run behind this line, but I do think Zeke is a special back than the other two backs
right.
back there. That's a reason why he's starting. So why do you feel so confident that he can just, that the Eagles can just shut them down?
I mean, nothing really just seems to faze them. Not to mention, with the things that you just mentioned, I don't believe that Dallas is that strong, as strong offensively as they were like last year. I think that's a given, but it's just I really don't see it. And not to mention, I also need to say this: I'm not like a Cowboys fan. I don't like the Cowboys at all. So I could be kind of
really?
Biased. But that's
it's 99% of the stage. It's all good.
So that's why I feel so confident in the Eagles, and I don't really see the Cowboys being a factor for them.
347-637-3859. Best and worst of the weekend is here. Moving on from the NFC East, we all are probably in agreement that it's the Philadelphia Eagles. So I will ask this question to you, Vaughn. I'm not Vaughn. I just read his name. Micah, are the Eagles, and we'll bring it up, in your power rankings last week, you had those Philadelphia Eagles ranked pretty high in your power rankings. Where do you have them now?
I still have them number one. Not just because of the record, but how they've been winning games. It is when you can run the dynamic and run the gambit of, okay, well, here's a game where I didn't really have a good game as a quarterback, but we still figured out a way to win. And I put this in a more special sense than I do one Horatio Brady, because he's done it longer. He's done it longer. I know that's not necessarily an excuse, but he's done it longer. So him having bad games and him having a core nucleus of a team and a mentality around in the Patriots is a little bit different from this younger team, this team that has some veterans. But really it goes the way Carson Wentz goes and his attitude and his mannerisms. And they've been playing to a level that's way different from last year. It wasn't just, oh, we got a great 3-0 start, and then, oh, yeah, I'm a rookie. It's, okay, we got a good start. Let's go ahead and put the foot on the next. Let's keep going. And that's what I've been feeling. And no matter if it was a nasty game with Carolina, whether it was a close divisional matchup, both time, first time with the Redskins, and then the second time it wasn't as close. What's that last game they had? It was this past that the Redskins game on this Monday. It was one before it. Oh Lord, it's right there in my head. No, that was a Carolina game.
San Francisco.
It was San Francisco.
Okay.
And when it's taking a bad team and shellacking a bad team like you're supposed to, so far they've done all the things that they need to do. The only thing that's missing from Carson Wentz's resume is high pressure playoff win. That's pretty much it. Playoff win in a high pressure situation.
Let me ask you this right now.
Yes, sir.
I want to hear your new Power Five. You have it.
All righty. Well, I'm going to start at number five. I'm going to do number five here. Number five, I'm going to put the Houston Texans. I'm putting the Houston Texans at number five because, once again, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this. I've been saying it. I've been shouting it from the rooftops since he played Alabama the first time and lost, since he played Alabama the second time and won. I've been saying that this is not the winner Tim Tebow type thing I'm trying to talk about here. This guy's an actual throwing quarterback that can actually be good at throwing the ball. And you go into Seattle. You go into Seattle and you say, hey, Russell, how you doing? You're a little shorter than me by like a couple of inches, but you know what? I respect you. Not, and you put up against this defense that talks so much cash trash. You put up 38 points against the defense supposed to talk all this trash about how they're Legion of Boom and things like that. You have exposed them, and you are a rookie quarterback.
Good Lord, the Texans are going to be dangerous. And you know what? The AFC South is up for grabs. I understand that Tennessee won their game, and Jacksonville is going to be tough. But you want to know something? Watch out for the Texans. They're number five. At number four, I'm going to put the team that beat them at number four, the Seattle Seahawks. What is up with Seattle Seahawks of being a second-half team? It seems like they start off the season like crap, and then they got all these issues, and everyone's worried. Next thing you know, Russell Wilson just puts the team on the back and say, well, hey, guys, you know, at first I was a little bit generic. You know, my wife was a little, you know, little.
You better watch it. Don't you talk about Sierra.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, my wife was a little, you know, she was a little plain Jane, you know. She got on my nerves, and then I go ahead and man up and give me a real chick. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like that's
okay.
Russell Wilson. That's exactly what Russell Wilson was doing, man. I got to give him credit. So give me the Seattle Seahawks coming in at number four. At number three, I hate to say it, but you know what? You know what? You got to put it where it is. With the experience, with the culture, you know, I have to bring them up a little bit more. I have my hate for Thomas Horatio Brady, but you want to know something? They're winning games, and they're winning games ugly. I'm sorry, flip that. It wasn't them at number three. It's Pittsburgh Steelers is at number three because actually they're doing something they didn't do well last year. Finding ways to win games on the road. I didn't know that the Pittsburgh Steelers knew how to play on the road. It seemed like they didn't know what they were doing last year. They were too busy, you know, worrying about people that were high, you know, and stuff like that. But now Coach Tomlin got some cojones about him, and he's decided to say, okay, hold on, you're going to talk cash trash? You don't want something? You're not Antonio Brown. You go to the practice squad. Bye. You know, all these things, and the way they've been trying to change their culture back to a winning culture, I like what they're doing. I like how they have it. Then the Patriots at number two, because of, like I said, it was the same thing with Carson Wentz. However, it's the same old Tom Brady, same old Bill Belichick, same old dynasty that's been going around for the last 17 years, for the last 16, 17 years. You know, when you can win games any which way possible, you don't have the best defense in the world, you don't have the best offense in the world, and you're figuring out still ways to win games. That's championship-style football, championship mentality. Patriots are number two. And, of course, your Eagles at number one because their record says they should be number one. But
they've earned
it by the way they played. They've earned it also by the way they played. If they had the same record as the Patriots, honestly, because of the quarterback situation, I would still put them at number one because it's more impressive that a quarterback with this level of maturity in his second season is doing what Tom Brady has been doing for such a long time.
Jay Chris, I want to hear from you in a much more swifter way, please.
All right, so I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go one through five. I'm going to go with number one being the Eagles. You know, I've never had the opportunity to put them at number one on this thing before, so I'm going to do it now before I can't do it anymore. I'm going with the Eagles at number one. Number two, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, that win last night where they probably shouldn't have won, but they end up finding a way to win anyway. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers at number two. Number three, I'm still going to go with Kansas City Chiefs. I know they were number – I don't remember where I had them at last time. I don't have the list in front of me. But I'm going to go with number three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number four, I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. And number five – excuse me. Number five, I'm going to go with the Houston Texans.
Everybody on my Houston, because when I told y'all they were going to cover and probably win that game outright, y'all didn't think it was going to happen. And I told y'all that it was going to happen. And if not for the fact that they were playing that stupid cover three that you see on Madden football and they know how to control the linebacker, they'd have beat Seattle in Seattle. Say, let me get your power rankings in. Please don't put the Dolphins in there.
No.
I'm going to pick on you.
Can you pass me on this one?
40,
I don't even know.
That's fine. 40 to nothing. That's there. I'm going to go at number five, the Texans. I'm going to go at number four, the Los Angeles Rams, still. At number three, I'm going to go ahead and drop them a spot this week and put Pittsburgh. At number two, I'm going to continue to keep them at number two, the Philadelphia Eagles, and at number one, Broadway Brady. You are the champions until someone beats you. And they have done it too many different ways. and the Eagles have too many injuries to be number one in the power rankings. They played a weak team yesterday that they were supposed to beat, but they still struggled in certain areas that they shouldn't have struggled in, including the run game. Also, Doug Peterson, to me, like my coach in Chicago, for the Cubs, can get out-coached. He still has not decided who is your featured running back. And I think when you go play a difficult team, that's going to become an issue. Is it LeGarrette Blount's team? Is it not LeGarrette Blount's team? Is it Smallwood's team or is it not Smallwood's team? I don't know what he's doing half the time. 1 second they're an up-tempo team. 1 second they're to take your time and ground it out team. The defense, Schwartz's defense, has kept them in every single game thus far this year. And that's for that reason why the Philadelphia Eagles are number two in my power rankings. Now, with that being said, today's going to be a little shorter of a show, guys. I have some things. Halloween's tomorrow. I'm getting ready to leave for D.C. very soon to attend Fight Night D.C. The red carpet, like I told you guys, will be broadcasted live on Fox Sports Radio. I actually might YouTube it live as well so that way you can get an inside glimpse from what's going on. Like I said, I got a chance to meet Michael B. Jordan. Please go to my YouTube page. What is my YouTube page? Is it Mike Knox or is it The Game Be Won? Help me out there, J.K. I don't know, but that's on.
I'm actually not sure. I think it might be. I think it's Mike Knox. I think it's Mike Knox.
The Game Be Won. Actually, I'm going to look at one of my own videos right now to tell you. How am I going to say to go look at something, right? If I can say to go look at something, don't mind me. It's okay. My channel. There it is. So please go. Yeah, it's Mike Knox, y'all. 3X's. All right, you already know that though. So go there. You can see things from the last two Fight Night DC, hanging out with some of the best, like I said, in philanthropy, sports, and entertainment. We got Charlie Batch scheduled for interview as well come up this year. Last year, Fight Night DC pictures are up there. We got the interview as well with Michael B. Jordan, one of my favorite interviews of all time, out there as well as interview with Buster Douglas. All the boxing greats will be there again this year. I have a list of those guys, but I don't want to bore you because you may not be there this year. But please go to Fight Night DC or fightforthechildren.org as well and support this wonderful, wonderful cause. You also have the power to do so. They're children. They're at-risk kids. Please go out there and support this movement. Best World Series ever, J. Chris. We talked about this last week, and after what I saw last night, coming back from four runs down, the 3-1 shot that Correa hit where he just stood there and he hit a massive bomb. I think I mentioned somewhere like 439. And then they were down again the very next inning to come back. Two comebacks, not two, but three comebacks in the game. A 4-run deficit, a 3-run deficit. They took the lead, lost the lead, and took it back with a walk-off in the 10th inning. This is the best World Series I've ever seen. Cannot wait for game 6 tomorrow. And right now, we had to lock it up. I did say they would win 2 or 3 games. Y'all all said they wouldn't. So, again, I look like I'm the smarter one than you, but not really. I just got lucky. I just like saying that. But I'll ask you again, Jay, because I asked you on Friday, has this become the best World Series you've ever seen? Or do you still say no?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to say it is because, I mean, from an offensive, yeah, this World Series is great. This World Series is great. Where's the pitching? That's what I want to ask. Where's the pitching? As a baseball fan, where's the pitching? You have a game in double digits, both teams are in double digits. Where's the pitching? This is the type of World Series that the casual baseball fan or the non-baseball fan would enjoy watching because of all the high scoring. So from that standpoint, I would probably have to say, yes, this is the best World Series I've ever seen.
Wow. It changed that quick. It changed for me. And I said on Friday that I thought it might have been, and we all, you know, me, you, and Wally compared it to 91. And to me, 91 just still was like, wow. You know what I mean? Just watching Kirby Puckett, watching how that those games went, game 7, and every game was a 1-run differential. And we like pitching. I think this is a very opposite World Series than we're talking about pitching. And you notice they even touched on last night, doing again, we got a chance to watch the broadcast, they talked about how the stitching is different. And people are saying the stitching is different. But it's become more exciting to watch because of the home run ball. Micah, not sure how long you've been a baseball fan, but is this the best World Series you've ever had a chance to witness here and hear people talk about as well?
I think I have to go ahead and agree with Jay Chris. By the way, Jay Chris was the one who first, you and Jay Chris was actually in agreement that the Houston Astros were going to take two of the three series at home. I was the smart person that said, oh, no, it was the Dodgers that's going to take two of the three at the Houston. So I just want to clarify so that way, you know, we got everyone. It's all good. Credit is due, though. I mean, you still the genius on the program when it comes to just stuff that I wish I was good at. You know, only thing I got over you is I got cooking. That's about it. That's all I got, man. Cooking.
No, I make a mean omelet.
All right. Well, is it mean because it's burned and it gets mad at you?
No, I don't burn.
I'll just mess with you. But you know, one of the things that creates great sport is the impedingness of drama. And you have to ask yourself, well, did you have drama in that game last night? Was there drama?
Everything was in that game last night.
Okay, so you have drama and you become emotionally invested, then that means that you're going to end up, hey, that's going to be one of the best things you ever feel, especially in that moment. Now, me, I'm just watching, man. It's just like, oh, okay, cool, more home runs. These guys are going at it, you know. I'm so casual about it that it's just like, hey, it's all good, man. It's hanging out. It's a good game, you know. My prediction was wrong. You know, moving on, next day. Monday Night Raw, yeah, it's going to be great, you know. And Sunday Night Football, okay, great. You know, I'm pretty much moving on thinking about stuff that I actually care about. That's where I come from. That is no disrespect to any of these wonderful and fantastic baseball teams and these two great, great clubs that are actually going at it. And I think it's going to swing back. I think it's going to go a full game seven because I don't think the Dodgers are just going to, like, just let it go just like that the way they had that game almost wrapped up last night. So, you know, everything that I remember always gave me great drama. I remember the 3-1 comeback because every game seemed to be dramatic when it came to the Cavs and the Warriors. I remember the Cavs stuff. I remember the basketball series between Cleveland and San Antonio when LeBron was first getting started. I remember some of the series with Michael Jordan and Utah because I remember the drama that was going on in there. I remember the Knicks. not individual player, just Knicks and Reggie Miller. That's it. Just Knicks and Reggie Miller. And Reggie Miller doing what he did with Spike against Spike Lee only because of the drama that was involved in the game. If I got more into baseball after I left as an Atlanta Braves fan originally, then I think I would have felt exactly what you and Jay Chris have felt when I watched that game. I did not feel that because, well, I left the sport for way too long to actually be emotionally invested. And that's coming from a person who's also a casual basketball watcher, too. My primary thing is football. You already know how I feel about football. I talk football all day.
Well, if you're not watching this World Series, I don't know what World Series you've been watching, but I think everybody should be watching this World Series. I really do think it's that important to watch this World Series. It's full of drama. It's full of hype. It's everything you can ask for in a World Series, this World Series is giving you. I really, truly do believe that there's nothing like it. It just isn't. I'm sitting there watching this game, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was over. I thought there's no way they're coming back against Clayton Kershaw like this. And he was pitching like a no-hitter at the time. I was just like, there's no way. And then he hit that home run, and the way that crowd got so excited about it, I've never seen anything like it. It's probably been the most exciting thing that I've ever seen. I really, truly got to say that right now. 347-637-3859. Jay Chris, Anthony Joshua, this past weekend, had a controversial knockout. Did you get a chance to check out the fight?
Unfortunately, I did not. Tell me about it, Mike.
10th round knockout, pretty stoppage, pretty early. The question now lies that we do have two big fights this weekend we'll talk about on Friday. One, the returning of, to me, the greatest MMA fighter, at least welterweight division of all time, and and Mr. George St. Spartacus Pierre taking on Michael I Can't Stand the Count Bisbee. And then we also have Friend of Program fighting this Saturday night as well. The Bronze Bomber, the heavyweight champion of the world, who is now out there publicly saying if he does not win this fight, he will retire. So I need him to win this fight, A, so he doesn't retire, and we can finally see the matchup that we haven't seen. Jay Chris, I asked you this question, and which is a question that he's asked people themselves. Why aren't people behind this man? He is the American heavyweight champion. How come we are not behind this boxer? Not you, not I, but the public. First Take, Skip and Shannon. Why did he get the exposure he deserves?
I think it's because the heavyweight division is not very strong, and he hasn't faced the strongest competition like he wants to. And that's, you know, through no fault of his own. That's management. That's, you know, promoters. That's that. When you think about boxing, heavyweight boxing, you think of the days of the top guys going at it. You think of Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson. You think of Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson. You think of Foreman Ali. You think of Frazier Foreman. You think of guys, the top guys going at it. And we just have not seen that in the heavyweight division over the past, man, I don't know when the last time we've seen two top guys really go at it. I mean, I guess you could say Tyson Fury, which who I think, and Klitschko, who lost to him, but now Klitschko's retired. So, you know, while the belts were in Klitschko's possession in Russia, he was fighting fights in Russia, and, you know, he was fighting a lot of European fighters. Now that, Wilder has a belt, he can only fight guys that they put in front of him. He wants to fight the best. The best have not been put in front of him, and I think that's hurting the heavyweight division. And that's what hurts boxing as a whole. That's why MMA has that stronghold over boxing, because you'll see the best fight each other in MMA, where you won't see that in boxing because, you know, everything's got to be right. So I think that's why, as a whole, a lot of people in the United States and boxing fans have not been able to get behind Deontay Wilder, because they really haven't seen him fight the best, which, you know, that's what it takes to get behind a fighter, is them fighting the best fighters that they can fight.
King Vaughn says that the heavyweights are extinct like NBA centers. I disagree with that, but do you think there are some legs in that statement?
Well, there needs – he's somewhat right. And when I say that, I'm saying the heavyweight division is not American-dominated right now. So here in the United States, the heavyweight division is dead because we have one champion and no one for him to fight. But over in Europe, you know, over in Europe, the heavyweight division is huge. You know, you got a bunch of European champions over there. So, you know, it's not a culture thing, but it's a country thing. So I think once American fighters become heavyweight champions again, the heavyweight division will look a lot more attractive in the United States. But until that happens, until Deontay Wilder fights and beats all these European champions, it's not going to be what it was.
So he has to be Anthony Joshua to make himself a household name.
Yes and no. I don't think that may help much either, because is Anthony Joshua really a household name? I mean, we know him because we're fight fans, but
I think he gets more exposure than Deontay does. I think he gets more exposure than Deontay does.
Maybe. I can't really speak to that, but, you know, Klitschko was a household name. You know what I mean? Who else in the heavyweight division is really a household name? And Klitschko's retired now, so the heavyweight division needs a rebuild. They need to figure something. They need to fix some fights or something to get them back where they once were. Because it's the middleweights that really dominate boxing now. It really is. It's because of Floyd. It's because of Manny. And now the younger guys are bringing that weight class up and through. Whereas the heavyweight division has just, since Mike retired, since Lennox Lewis retired, has really not been much of anything.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think he needs to win on Saturday to be the first proving grounds to it. And then clearly follow that up and hope that Anthony Joshua does not run away from the challenge. Guys, our time is just about up, but before we do, we got two more things to talk about. First and foremost, you know the song? Sing along. Yeah, did y'all hear me channel my inner Fozzie?
I don't know about no Fozzie now.
I'm channeling my inner body right there. Jay Chris, best and worst of the weekend for you, brother. I come to you after I go myself, and that is the upsurgence of wrestling fans and wrestlers who have jumped all over Lio Rush in a way that I agree and disagree. That's one of the best things with this weekend because it's not often, Jay Chris, you know this. I don't get into text conversations or chats on Facebook. I say what I got to say and I get out. I will say what I want to say and I will go to that, you know, that little button that has the little three little dots that says end notification alerts. I will hit that on every conversation, right? I will hit it on every single conversation. And Emma, just for those who don't know, Lio Rush, friend of the program, we interviewed him here before it, and also when I was a part of the Wrestling Summit, new to wrestler for NXT. Recently made a tweet in reference to Emma being fired by the WWE yesterday, saying, "I guess that's what happens when you go up against Asuka." Clown emoji. To me, I thought it was kind of funny, a little out of sorts, but kind of funny, right? It was more of him saying Asuka was that dope that she, you know, and wrestler fans took to it, and or wrestlers themselves saying, "Didn't you just get here? Have some professionalism. Who is this guy to tweet this out?" So you had William Regal and Road Dogg, friend of the program, also stick up for him, saying he's younger, he's this and he's that. I just think it's funny. Also, the David Young Bucks issue. If you do not know, the Young Bucks are a New Japan Pro Wrestling Ring of Honor group, and they're always trying to get WWE talent. And they say, "Well, here go a T-shirt for you." Today, as Darren Young got fired, they showed a T-shirt. And the what's the politically correct way to say this, Jake, Micah, and the gay pride colors, because Darren Young is openly gay and came out the closet during his WWE career. I find that to be despicable. However, like, because he's gay, he has to get a gay colored Bullet Club shirt. But again, I loved it because it was great. As long as with the Philadelphia Eagles being one of the best things this weekend, I just thought that everything's going on in the world between the World Series, football, the wrestling community, everything's been great. The worst of the weekend happens to be the fact that people are going to see Justice League early, and I am not one of them. People have gotten their Xbox X's already, and I am not one of them. I am killing myself watching YouTube unboxing, and I ask myself, why in the hell am I watching an unboxing video? They all have the same video, but I watch like seven of them. Just not happy. That's one of the worst things that ever happened this weekend, Jay Chris. Best and worst of the weekend for you, Jay Chris.
I got a couple worst of the weekends, one personal, one not. One worst of the weekend was the way Penn State lost this weekend to Ohio State. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's one of the worst ways you can go.
I kind of predicted it
halfway through the second half. You know, I'm not a big Penn State fan, but I am a supporter, and I have been a supporter for a long time. And to see them lose to Ohio State like that, man, that was disappointing. And another, I actually want to pose this question to the panel here and see what you think. I mean, quick answer. I have a friend that owes me money for some work I did, and this was a couple years ago, and they bought some Eagles tickets recently. Okay. And okay. they they called me and offered me a ticket to yesterday's game because, oh. you know, they said, you know, they were trying to sell the ticket, but they said they would give it to me for free because they owed me money. Now, I did not go to the Eagles game, but is that a violation to go out and when you owe somebody money to go out and buy something like that and, you know, and then offer them like a piece instead of them, like you offer them the what you bought? Like, is that a violation?
I would say so.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead, Mike.
I said I would say so, but you never know how they acquired those tickets. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know how they got the tickets in the first place. You know, we don't know if they really bought them with cash or petty cash or, you know, did they have a T-Mobile gift card?
It's the value of the item, which I understand, you know, but at the same time, it's like, I'd rather have the cash, bro. You know what I mean? I want the money. Like, you know, if you loan somebody money and they pay you over time, it's like, all right, you know, they paid you back, but, you know, you would really rather have had the money all at once. If somebody said they're going to pay you for something you did, you want to be paid. You don't want.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. That's why I posed the question to the team because, you know.
Okay.
I just want to know, you know, what y'all thought about
that. No problem.
Hey, it doesn't matter what your priorities are, man. It doesn't matter. That's not more so on the person, more so on what your personal priorities are. So if you're in a situation where you're like, okay, this guy owed me money for the work I did, but he's giving me tickets. Those tickets, the value of those tickets probably will be equal or greater than the money of the work that I did. But I'll end up having to spend more money anyway for parking and concessions. Versus I just want the money because I did work to get paid. Honestly, if I was in your shoes, factoring in that I'm a Colts fan, if the Colts were playing the Redskins and I had a free ticket, well, that dude still owe me daggone money. There's someone right now who I did music work for. He still owe me $75. And I guarantee you, there's nothing. He can get me a brand new Nintendo Switch. And I will love it forever. And I'll still tell him you still owe me $75 from that music work I did for you. So, I mean, hey, I'm like, you owe me. You owe me. There's something that's going to replace the fact that you still owe me.
Cash is cash. I guess my best of the weekend would have to be the Eagles winning and the Sixers winning, and Ben Simmons actually going to the bucket strong and aggressive this weekend. I enjoyed that, and I hope I see more of it. They play the Rockets tonight. Hopefully they avenge that loss from last week where they should have beat the Rockets, but lost on the last point.
They were the better team that night.
They were the better team that night for 47 minutes and 59 seconds.
King Vaughn said he would take the money too. Best and worst of the weekend for you, Micah.
Well, the worst of the weekend for me is I didn't have a worst of the weekend. This weekend, this weekend was fantastic. There's some special things that went down in my church in my stead that I was able to do. So that went down at 10 a.m. that morning. You know, there was a foot washing service and stuff going on. So I did some good things for my church. My Colts lost. Fantastic. That's a good thing because I'm trying to tell you, as long as we make Jacoby Brissett look good and, you know, Andrew Luck's going to be fully healthy, we got a high draft pick and a quarterback that we can sell off, even though I don't think we should sell him off. That would be stupid because Andrew Luck's prone to get hurt again if Ballard doesn't build right. That was fantastic.
They covered.
Oh yeah, that's why it is the worst of the weekend. Anytime the Cowboys win is just bad. It's crap. It's garbage. Congratulations to your Notre Dame Fighting Irish, sir. They're doing a fantastic job. You know, they're doing a fantastic job. They're going to be in that top four. By the way things are looking, they go ahead and continue to run the table as they've been doing, because not only have they been winning, but they've been winning impressively. And the only loss on their resume, if I remember correctly, is just Georgia, right?
Yes, as long as Georgia keeps
winning,
we look good. Right.
Yeah, so congratulations on that, sir. So they've been doing good. I've been loving this, the way college football has been sticking it to the NFL when it comes to very, very entertaining games. And my best for the weekend also is Deshaun Watson going into one of the harshest environments
and balling out. Granted, he didn't come out with the win, but you got to respect the brother who balls out like that.
Miss Major Paige, best and worst of the weekend.
I don't really have any best of the weekend because all the teams that I like lost this weekend. Ole Miss lost. They blew a huge lead against Arkansas. The Dolphins, we don't have to go in depth, but I think we all know what happened there. But I would say if I had to pick one, I don't know if you guys pay attention to University of Florida at all, but they got rid of Coach Mack over the weekend.
Yes.
Despite the fact, I mean, I know he lied about death threats, so that's a big thing.
That's a huge thing.
But I didn't like people complaining about him beforehand because he did take us to like two SEC championship games in 3 years. And right now, the way the team is, he's kind of, you know, working with what he has. He lost a lot of key players at the beginning of the season, especially due to that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that corruption scandal or fraud scandal where they were messing with the credit cards and things like that. But I just think it's an unfortunate thing all around, and I'm just hoping we can win some games from here on out. So that's my worst of the weekend. I don't have any best.
And what is Vaughn saying? Well, you just love him some Chadwick. I mean, I get that he's Black Panther. He's played every single black major thing we've ever had, from Jackie Robinson to now Black Panther, Thurgood Marshall. He said very good. Chadwick being playing legendary black people, best part of the weekend for him. Listen, guys, like I said, we're going to get out of here a little early. I got some things I got to take care of. Monday Night Raw is tonight. We had Under Siege happen last week. If you're checking out Perfect Plex Talk Radio every Thursday at 9 p.m., guys, make sure you go to the subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are sold, guys. Come on, they're free. Go there, listen to a show you like it, subscribe, write a review. I need it. We have been number one on Fox Sports Radio for the last 3 weeks, and podcasting and everything else. Let it continue to go so they will continue to know that we are the flagship show right here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. But VSR Network has not gone anywhere. Join them for Perfect Plex Talk Radio. I told you, if you're a wrestling fan, that is the show for you. The debate we had last week over Emma and Asuka was absolutely amazing, especially with the fallout that happened with Emma this past weekend. Go there, wrestling fans. It's the show for you. We will review Monday Night Raw from the night. We will review SmackDown Live from Tuesday night. And you know what? We might even start reviewing on the show as well what happened on NXT on Wednesday and 205 Live. It's just if we have enough time. We always come up with a program, and we always get sidetracked because, you know, whatever show I'm a part of, it's where Barbershop Talk meets radio. And when that happens, as long as you don't steal my orange juice, anything can happen in there. No one will get shot in the building, J. Chris. Right? Hold on. Did you give a shout-out to Penwood? Because I don't think I heard you say Penwood, bro.
No, I didn't, man. Congratulations to the Patriots of Penwood High School here in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, Delaware County. Winners of the Del Valle Championship, man, 5-0 in the conference. Won the Del Valle Championship for the first time since 2010, and then they go on to the playoffs next week for a rematch for the team that put them out the playoffs last year, Perk Valley. And good luck to the young fellas there, man. Great season so far, and they're not done yet.
And shout out to my cousin, Mr. Johnson, one of the coaches, and his son, the quarterback of the team, number two, out there.
That's
my
your
family.
Cousin. Help me get that young boy to play baseball, man.
When I saw him, right, and I realized he was the quarterback, I said, I bet you J. Chris trying to recruit him for baseball. And it's so funny.
I've already talked to
him. I will call his pops and see what his pops say. All right, and see what he says about baseball and what goes on from there. But guys, listen, I love you. I thank you for being with me, being patient with me, being patient with my crew despite the technical difficulties we had today. Mr. Keith Gore, I want to give a special thanks to you because I'm sorry, guys. I have a lifetime. I did not know that was his wife's day. We were hanging with last year. I said, yo, they got it in. Okay. You heard how he discussed
what happened. I did not know that was his wife. Whoa, that's crazy, guys. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love Lisa me and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. We out of here. See you for Perfect Plex Talk Radio on Thursday, y'all. See you.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dreams sweepstakes where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, or USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dreams sweepstakes where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, or USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.